Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This is the great judgment scene in the book of Revelation. The dead stand before God's throne, and the books are opened, and each is judged according to his life. Anyone not found written in the book of life, that is, anyone whose life does not meet the standard of the Lord's word, is cast into the lake of fire. If we can picture ourselves standing there, facing God on the judgment seat, waiting to be judged to heaven or hell, it is a terrifying thing to imagine. The book of Revelation is full of such vivid, often frightening and confusing images. We are greatly blessed to have the heavenly doctrine to help us understand this mysterious book. The writing's clear, calmly rational explanation gives us a great sense of the steadfast love and orderliness of God. And yet it also underlines both the warning and the promise implied in the literal story. The doctrine helps us see that these things which John saw taking place on a grand scale also take place with each of us. The apocalypse and the apocalypse revealed teaches what kind of judgment this will be, why it is necessary, and also the beauty of the heavenly state for which the judgment prepares us. We read that earth and heaven fled away from the face of him who sat on the throne. The next chapter begins, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Some Christians have interpreted these passages as predicting the destruction of this natural world, but the writings say that these words actually refer to lands and skies in the spiritual world where we all live after death. The heaven and earth that passed away were false, pseudo-heavens that needed to be cleared away before a genuine, truly heavenly state could be established there. How did there get to be false heavens? From the time of the Lord's first coming, almost 2,000 years ago, people, as they died, streamed into the spiritual world. The spiritual world consists of heaven and hell. There is also an intermediate region called the world of spirits. This is like a great airport or train station. People coming from all different places mix and then separate into groups going to many different destinations. The world of spirits is where the judgment takes place after death. In this world, we cannot tell who is really good or evil inside. Often, we don't even know about ourselves. There are many outward incentives and pressures for us to behave well, whatever goals or motives we may have at heart. In the world of spirits after death, however, our true character gradually becomes clear, both to ourselves and to others. Accordingly, we choose our ultimate destinies. But it began to happen that people who acted well morally and civilly, only for the sake of a good reputation and its advantages, not for the Lord's sake, were allowed to stay on in the world of spirits instead of going to hell. These were men and women who appeared to be good Christians. They attended church faithfully, they prayed, they discussed religious topics, and kept up an honest outward appearance. With them were others who were really good at heart. But the first group, though they pretended to be good Christians, secretly committed adultery, stole or extorted money from others, took revenge, and abused positions of power. If caught, they excused their misdeeds by church-sanctioned works of penance. Church leaders taught that no one can keep the Ten Commandments since we're only human, and since therefore we're not even obliged to try. We are saved by the sheer mercy of God, not by our own goodness. by outward piety, unscrupulous, hypocritical leaders, both clergy and lay, built up followings from among the good people in the world of spirits. They began to call their communities and churches heavens. They used their powerful skills of persuasion to glorify their high-ranking positions. The world of spirits, which was meant to be only a way station toward heaven or hell, became more and more choked with these false heavens, made up of hypocrites mixed with good people who could not see what was wrong. The great majority of people in the early Christian church were simple folk. They had grown up in the sphere of their church, and they tended to go on trusting their priests in the other world as they had on earth. The church taught them morality and obedience to the civil law, and by this teaching they were led to heaven, even though many of their leaders did not practice what they preached. Men who could see some of the corruption infesting the church still lacked clear doctrinal arguments based on the Lord's word to cut through the great web of lies that was built up. They did not have the influence to combat the established church. People on earth were also strongly affected by these false heavens in the other world. Our spiritual life, our emotions and thoughts, our feelings and values come to us by way of the world of spirits, by spirits who are like us there. As the false heavens began to control the attitudes and thinking of people in the other world, they began to close the minds of people on earth as well. The false heavens were like dark clouds, shutting out the warmth of love and the light of truth from heaven to men and women on earth. At last, the false heavens had multiplied to the point that spiritual freedom was about to perish. The spiritual night had become so dark and cold that people would not even have had the opportunity to choose between heaven and hell had the Lord not come and sorted things out. The writings compare the world of spirits to the stomach and digestive tract, where foods are broken down and separated into the useful and non-useful parts, and each is routed where it needs to go. The situation before the Last Judgment was like a breakdown in the digestive processes, so that food accumulates in the stomach and bowels until the body is in danger of death. Then the Lord initiated the Last Judgment on the Christian church in the spiritual world. Essentially, what he did was to teach the truth again. The truth is what brings about a judgment. Some people love the truth and are drawn to it. They see that while the truth may point out ways in which they must repent, it opens the way to a happier, more productive life. Others find the truth disagreeable. The more the truth is pressed home, the more they hate it. It shatters illusions that hid the wickedness of their life. It exposes the fact that they have no right to exercise control over others. The whole framework of their doctrine, philosophy, and life is a lie. Describing the nature of his judgment, the Lord said, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness better than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." At first, the Lord sent his angels to visit the communities of the false heavens to preach the truth. They taught, for example, that the Lord did not hand over the keys of heaven to Peter and the popes. The angels taught people to practice repentance by changing the ways they lived their lives. They taught that we cannot rely on a mere oral profession of faith in Christ as the Savior, or on penance in the form of gifts of money to the church and pilgrimages to shrines. They proclaimed that there is only one God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all attributes of the one God, who is our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Savior. Good people listened carefully and began to separate themselves from the leaders of the churches. The evil argued and fought back viciously in every way. John saw the evil spirits in the form of a dragon, which he called the devil and Satan. They went out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth and to call multitudes together to help them fight. They went up and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. But the truth is the truth, and it cannot be hidden forever. Once it is clearly presented, it is overwhelming, especially in the spiritual world. Finding their control over the minds of good people broken, the evil gradually gave up pretending to be moral, pretending to love religion. Their real character became obvious, all the ugly, ferocious hatefulness of it. John saw it as fire coming down from God out of heaven upon them. But the heavenly doctrine says that actually, the fire was symbolic of their own fierce anger and lust. That is what devoured their souls, not God. So the false heavens were dissipated as the evil fled away from God, away from the truth, to hell. Meanwhile, good people joined together in a common love and acknowledgement of the truth of their Lord and of the life of religion. The Lord formed them into new communities of heaven. This whole great drama takes place in each of us. We have within us a mixture of good and bad states. Many false heavens and panaceas are proposed in the world around us, and we tend to buy into some of them, as offering a seemingly easier road to heaven than real repentance. The Lord said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let us rejoice in the truth given us by the Lord out of heaven, and take full advantage of the freedom and opportunity for regeneration the Lord offers us. Equipped with principles from the word, we can be leaders, not people who follow multitudes to do evil. We can see through false heavens of pleasure without purpose, external traditions without meaning, outward remedies to human problems without internal change. We can be filled with hope and zeal to practice real repentance of life. May the Lord's truth shine in our minds and hearts so that we may separate ourselves from what is evil and false, and the holy city may descend into our lives. Then, when the day comes for our last judgment in the spiritual world, and the book of our life is opened before the throne of God, we may see the Lord smiling and hear him saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen." Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.